You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Balls, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. Is today the day that Tennessee will officially name a head coach? Word came out on Tuesday night that there is a lot of attention on Josh Heupel. As of this recording, there has not been a report that he will be the head coach, but that's where a lot of the conversation was on Tuesday night. So I'll get to that here in segment number one. Josh Heupel is the coach at UCF, where Danny White was the athletic director. There's the obvious connection. Heupel is a very well thought of offensive coach. The season this past year didn't go how UCF wanted. They went 6-4, and year by year, the record has gotten a little bit worse. The record overall for Josh Heupel as the head coach in three seasons at UCF is really good. And again, he's well thought of as an offensive coach. Is he ready to be the Tennessee head coach and everything that will come with it? There was a reaction online from Tennessee fans that I'll get to here in segment number one. Also, does it say something where this search has possibly gone about the coaching position at Tennessee, how it's viewed nationally? I'll talk about that in segment number one of today's show. In the second segment of today's show, I want you to hear something that Gerard Mayo said when he was on the radio in Nashville last week, talking about what the next coach at Tennessee needs to do, no matter who that is, what he's going to need to do to help Tennessee get going in the right direction, what any winning program really needs. You'll hear that in segment number two. And then in the third segment, I'll get to Tennessee's win over Mississippi State in basketball on Tuesday night. It was not a pretty win for Tennessee, and it came down to the wire, but Tennessee got the win. Tennessee needed it. You'll hear from Rick Barnes what he had to say after the win coming up in segment number three. On today's show, Locked On Vols, it's here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And with word coming out that Josh Heupel is getting a lot of traction, he, of course, would be coming to Tennessee from UCF, where Danny White was, and it would look like a package deal. Maybe it wasn't meant to be that, and there have been a number of coaches mentioned, too many to remember every time that I've done the show over the last couple of days. But I mean, the list has legitimately been, what, 11 to 15 deep in terms of the different reports out there from local and national stories on the Tennessee coaching search. And Josh Heupel has been brought up because he had to be. He was at UCF where Danny White was, and there would be the possibility that Danny White could end up hiring him. Would that have been the first choice if that's what ends up happening? I don't know that that's the case. I saw the SP Plus numbers that were compiled by GameDayOnRockyTop.com looking at Josh Heupel. And if you look at what he was able to do, there are actually some numbers that are more impressive with the 2018 team, which was Heupel's first at UCF, than the 2017 team, which was Scott Frost's final team, you know, the national championship winning team at UCF. 2019, they put up some really good numbers. This past season, UCF went 6-4. It was a COVID year. How does that factor in? You might also look and say, wait a minute, that's year three. He's starting to coach more of his players, less of Scott Frost players. Is that a bad sign with where things are going? Questions that I would ask. How good of a recruiter is Josh Heupel? How well would he recruit at Tennessee? I think anybody can recruit relatively well at Tennessee because it's Tennessee. You have all the resources. You're in the SEC. There are plenty of prospects within range to go after. But can you recruit with Florida, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M? Yeah, it's a long way to go to get to where Alabama and Georgia are for sure. But what about some of those other teams? Jeremy Pruitt was able to do it a little bit, but overall he has not since he was at Tennessee over the last 3 years. Could Josh Heupel get to where Jeremy Pruitt had it at least? That's a question. Ultimately, you need to go to an even higher level there. And then program development, that's still something we don't know that much about because Josh Heupel's only been a head coach for 3 years. Before that, he was an offensive coordinator, and his offenses have been successful. They've put up yards. They've put up points. He did that at UCF. He did that before. He was at UCF at Missouri in the SEC, and that should count for something. At Missouri, with Josh Heupel as the offensive coordinator, the Tigers put up points. They put up points on the Vols with Josh Heupel as the OC. So that's something to keep in mind. What would his staff look like? Who would be his defensive coordinator? These are questions that we would be asking right now. Social media had quite a reaction, and a lot of what I saw was not positive. And that's something that Josh Heupel might be considering before he officially takes the job, if he is officially offered the job by Danny White. And we've seen this before, and I think that's something that coaches consider. consider this. If you're not happy about the idea of hiring Josh Heupel, who, again, could absolutely work out, he's a respected coach, he has a good record, a really good record at UCF as the head coach. Remember this, there is an unknown with all of these coaches. Any coach that has been brought up, aside from like James Franklin, I'm pretty confident that if he were hired by Tennessee, he would have success. That also was a big long shot. Matt Campbell, big long shot. And he's not guaranteed to have huge success at Tennessee. But any of the other coaches who have been brought up, Tony Elliott at Clemson, obviously it's an unknown. He's an offensive coordinator right now at Clemson. I think he could do well. You never know. But the other coaches, Scott Satterfield at Louisville, Neil Brown at West Virginia, Lance Leipold at Buffalo, those names being brought up. You never know. I know a popular name is Lane Kiffin. Another popular name is Hugh Freeze. There's actually no guarantee there, although they have some success to point to. Not as much with Lane, by the way, but he knows Tennessee, obviously, and he's Lane Kiffin. I don't need to keep going there. But doesn't this conversation say something about where the job is? The Tennessee job is a good job. You can make a ton of money. You're coaching in the SEC. Tennessee's had success in the past, but it's been a long time since Tennessee had success. Right now, you have NCAA issues. There's also a ton of scrutiny that comes with being the coach, and I know that comes with college football, but there's a little bit more of it that comes with being the coach at Tennessee. This is part of the conversation we had with Joe Rexrode of The Athletic, who polled other coaches and put together a piece at The Athletic looking at how the job is viewed. And you can ask any coach and you're going to get a different answer. But I asked Joe what stood out in talking to coaches about how the Tennessee job is viewed when he joined us on Sports 180 on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, I wish, Josh, I mean, as soon as they, you know, Tennessee hired Danny White, I'm like, gosh, I wonder if I could get everybody on the phone again and, you know, reconvene the roundtable, because I do think that changes the answer a little bit. But, I mean, there are still some, you know, some built-in, long-term, kind of permanent things about Tennessee that are, I think, good and bad when coaches look at the job. And, you know, I think overall I came away with not a big surprise, but basically like, yeah, you worry about the administration, the boosters. Obviously, there's some kind of dysfunction. There's some kind of, you know, disconnect. But you know what? Oh, I'll take that job all day. You know, and I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I went through it last week and just tried to rank jobs based on, all factors involved. Like, where is Tennessee? Like, there's no way Tennessee, to me, could ever fall below 20. Like, it's in the teens right now with all this stuff, all these things that have gone on. And I think that's kind of reflected in the piece, too. I mean, it's like, look, you got all the tools. That's one of the coaches said. You got all the tools. And you do. So I think, you know, you combine that now with Danny White, and I can see how this would be a more attractive job for some coaches. I would think that Danny White's presence and the investment in Danny White and the quickness of hiring him would offset some of the concerns for some coaches about, you know, the looming sanctions and just the fact that the way this whole investigation came about. Any coach coming in has got to be asking questions about that.
No doubt the NCAA situation is one that has to at least raise questions when coaches are contacted by Tennessee, but a coach that might be a little bit more comfortable would be Josh Heupel, who already has a relationship with Danny White and also would trust Danny White as his boss as an athletic director. So we'll see if that's how it goes. But today feels like the day where it could be done. And my thought at the beginning of the week, a lot of people said, you know, Wednesday is probably a day to point to, get into the week, get things vetted out, talk to coaches, and then get a coach in place. So today, Wednesday, there's a good chance that Tennessee has a coach in place. If not, well, that might be a sign that something went wrong with the search, at least how Danny White wants it to go. By the way, during that conversation with Joe Rexrode, if you heard a little screaming in the background, that was the Ward Boys. It's kind of like a Tennessee message board down the hallway going on while Joe was talking about the Tennessee job and where things might go. Right now, a lot of the talk is Josh Heupel. We'll see if that's where it ends up. If it's Josh Heupel, if it happens to be somebody else, what does that Tennessee coach need to do to get the program going in the right direction? It will involve a word that you've heard before, culture. Jerod Mayo, former Tennessee linebacker, now with the New England Patriots, knows something about culture. What he had to say about that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, as today's show is presented by BuiltBar.com. The Built Bar is a great tasting protein bar. I love my Built Bars that we have at the house. It is a perfect option. I often grab one in the middle of the afternoon. I'm in the middle of doing a radio show. I need a quick snack. The Built Bar is perfect. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew. They have so many different flavors for you to choose from, like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel. Mint brownie is one of the newer flavors that I've tried, and I love it. Go to BuiltBar.com. Check out all the flavors. Find what you might like best. Maybe you want to choose one flavor. Maybe you want to get a box of mixed flavors. You can do that at BuiltBar.com and check out the nutritional information. The Built Bar is low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. I love my Built Bars. I think you'll love them as well. Use promo code LOCKEDON, that's one word, for 20% off when you go to BuiltBar.com. So let's say Tennessee's coach will be Josh Heupel, or it can be somebody else for the sake of this conversation. But there are some obvious things that he would have to do. Number one, he's going to have to recruit well, besides putting a staff together and all that. But recruit well, develop talent, that's going to come back to who's your strength coach? What kind of strength program do you have? Can you find stability there? Tennessee was dealing with coaching changes again during Jeremy Pruitt's time as Craig Fitzgerald left earlier in 2020 and was replaced by A.J. Artis. I'm not saying that he wasn't a good coach, but you don't want constant turnover with your strength program. That happened with the previous head coaches, and that's something that Josh Heupel would need to make sure he has in place if Tennessee's going to be competitive in the SEC. But besides those talking points, we bring up a lot. Recruiting, development, strength program, off-season training, all that stuff. There's the culture. And culture is a word that gets brought up, but what exactly does it mean? Well, Jerod Mayo knows. Jerod Mayo was a terrific linebacker at Tennessee. He was a terrific linebacker for the New England Patriots, and now he's an assistant coach with the New England Patriots. Last week, he was on the radio in Nashville on 104.5 The Zone. He was on the morning show there with Jason Martin and Ramon Foster. Ramon was a terrific player with the Pittsburgh Steelers and was a teammate of Jerod Mayo's at Tennessee back in the mid-2000s. And Jerod talked about what Tennessee's next coach will need, no matter who that is, what he's going to need to do, what any coach needs to do if he's trying to get a program headed in the right direction. Listen to what Jerod said.
You got to get a head coach in there that's really going to establish the culture, right? And to me, that is the number one step. Like, the AD is the AD. It is what it is. Like, he could be there, but honestly, he's not really contributing to wins and losses besides picking the head ball coach. And I think, like, bringing a head ball coach in there that loves football, okay, loves to connect, loves the, you know, the relationship aspect of coaching. Because when you look at college football, it's really about the players. Mm-hmm. Even in the NFL, it's about the players. But in college football, it's really about, you know, getting good players in there, like developing those guys on a day-to-day basis, not only to become good football players, but also good men. And so when you bring those guys in there, you bring these young kids, you're bringing kids in there, right? And you're trying to develop them on and off the field. Like, you got to put as much stress on them as possible. And if those guys enter the transfer portal, it is what it is. They don't want to be great. And so all the players that I've been around, all the great players, right, the Tom Brady's, the Randy Moss, all those guys, all those great players, they want to be coached hard. They want to be coached hard. So I would say bring a coach in there that's going to coach these guys hard, both on and off the field, and develop young men that are able to deal with adversity on a day-to-day basis. Because when you look at a football game, right, when you look at a football game, they're going to be ups and downs. I don't care who you're playing. You could be playing the weakest school in the country, but there's still going to be ups and downs throughout that game. And being able to deal with that adversity on a day-to-day basis in practice and the weight room, all of that stuff carries over to the games. And so hopefully they just bring a head coach in there that can kind of instill that mental toughness, you know, doing what's right. I mean, doing what's best for the team, even though it may not be good for you individually. And, like, we always talk about leaving I, you, and me in the locker room, and we got some work to do, all right? And so building that culture and building that team aspect, like, that to me is the number one thing you got to do.
When you left UT in 2007, and I know schools go through a lot of stuff, but could you have imagined that we'd be here right now?
No way, man. Like, you know, I felt like, you know, we left the program in a pretty good spot. You know, we lost the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing. But, you know, obviously, you know, to go from that to where we are today, you know, multiple head coaches and really just a sense of no culture. You know what I mean? Like, even before we got there, like, Tennessee, like, they were a great team. Like, they had great teams. There was an established culture. And we tried to continue that through our years, but then after that, it's like, I don't know what happened. You know, the following year, they fired Coach Fulmer. You know, even though they had a bunch of good players, they just had a down year, and then it's never been the same.
And you've probably been asking the same thing. What happened? But that culture that he was talking about, it never really developed. It certainly didn't develop with Lane Kiffin, who was going to try, but he left after a year. It didn't work with Derek Dooley, who came from working for Nick Saban previously. He had been a head coach, of course, for 3 years at Louisiana Tech. But the culture was not in place. In fact, during that interview, Jerod Mayo talked about coming back to Tennessee and trying to work out and being told, yeah, you can't work out right now. And there are plenty of stories like that. That was a disaster, frankly, with the culture that Derek Dooley was putting in place. Butch Jones had it in place for a while, and things were heading the right direction. You know how things ended. And then you had the Jeremy Pruitt era, and that was flawed on so many levels. And now here we are. And that's 12 years later, and time has now passed. So recruits don't know Tennessee the way that Jerod Mayo and Ramon Foster knew it, and you knew it as Tennessee fans. And also, you know, the players haven't experienced the kind of success that you want to try to build on. And also, the roster has been kind of picked apart through the transfer portal and some of the best players having left. You know, the guys that were leading the way over the last couple of years, even include this 2020 season, which was disappointing, but who were some of the best players that you counted on to lead the way? Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Daniel Batuli, Nigel Warrior, Trey Smith, they're gone. So now you have to ask, okay, who's going to step up? And currently, I think some of the answers would be Matthew Butler, Darrell Middleton's a guy that's been on social media that's been active, but Alante Taylor and Valus Jones coming back, those are the guys you look to. You hope Cade Mays can step up and be a leader on the offensive line. But that's not what Jerod Mayo's talking about there. That's not the culture. That's just trying to find some leaders within the team. You hope to have some success. You hope to bring in some of your own players if you're a coach and get things going. But an NCAA issue will keep that from happening immediately. My point here would be that it's going to take some time. It's going to take time no matter who the coach is. Now, I started the show talking about the Josh Heupel talk on Tuesday. Nothing was confirmed as of this recording. So let's see how this plays out. This is Tennessee we're talking about. You've had to pivot as a Tennessee fan in the past, right? So we'll see how this goes. Is it Josh Heupel? Could it be somebody else? Whoever the coach is, he better understand that there will be scrutiny from day one. And while we're going to talk about there's going to be work to do to rebuild the program, and it's going to take some time, and I think fans are going to buy in no matter who the coach is. Coaches win the press conference, and fans will get on board. But at some point, expectations will go up, and they'll go way up. It's Tennessee that we're talking about, and whoever Tennessee hires, is it Josh Heupel? Could it end up being somebody else? Whatever the case is, that coach better understand what he's getting into. Having Denny White, I still believe, as the athletic director, will help with that, especially if it's Josh Heupel because of their relationship at UCF. And then let's see where it goes from here. I'll continue to cover the story, of course, this week, as many reporters are. And tomorrow, perhaps Tennessee will have a head coach for me to talk about. If not, well, let's see why that might be the case. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, Tennessee's basketball team got a win on Tuesday night. It was not a pretty win, but it was one Tennessee needed, and there is something to build on coming out of the win against Mississippi State ahead of the Kansas game on Saturday. Rick Barnes talks about that coming up in the final segment of today's show, which is presented by betonline.ag. The place to go if you're looking for odds on games going on each and every day. You have basketball, college, the NBA, every day and night. You have the NHL now started up. Every night it's going on. You have the NFL with still the Super Bowl to go. You have the game, and then you're going to have a ton of prop bets that you can find when you go to betonline.ag. And at the website, which you can find on your computer, works great on your mobile device, you can find future bets. You can bet on who do you think is going to win the college basketball national championship. Tennessee's still getting some odds that are interesting. You can look ahead to the upcoming college football season, and there are so many sports that are available, so go check it out. BetOnline.ag. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, you don't have to anymore. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Visit BetOnline.ag and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Tennessee beat Mississippi State 56-53 on Tuesday night. The shooting could have been better. Tennessee was 3 of 19 from behind the three-point line. Mississippi State was 3 of 13 behind the three-point line. The Vols were led in scoring by Eve Pons, who was really good. He didn't play that much because he was in foul trouble. He ended up fouling out of the game. He played 22 minutes, but he hit some clutch shots. He had, a momentum dunk. Eve Pons was good while he was out there playing. The foul trouble, that's something that Tennessee needs him to avoid, because when he's not on the floor, you can tell a difference. But players who stepped up late included Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. There's a pretty obvious difference with Jaden Springer out there. If he didn't play, he's returning from his ankle injury. If he didn't play on Tuesday night, I don't know that Tennessee wins the game against Mississippi State. So the Vols got out of there with the win. They made plays late. I thought Mississippi State made some mistakes late in the game. But Tennessee was able to get the win despite shooting terribly from the outside. The Vols made plays, and now they get ready for Kansas coming up on Saturday. But back to Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. It's just so obvious that they are both so important for what Tennessee does on both ends of the floor. We focus on the offense, but defensively, they both matter. And this is what Rick Barnes said on the Vol Network postgame show, talking about both of those guys, starting with the return of Jaden Springer.
Yeah, he's a difference maker for a guy that's just getting back and he hadn't had a lot of practice. He did some good things, and both he and Keon both are going to have to understand that other dribble they're used to taking is not going to happen at this level. But he did a good job. And then, again, Eve, at that point in time, as you said, we were struggling, Bert, and we wanted to go through Eve, and he got things done for us. What I told him before the game, I love the fact he's trying to be aggressive and pick up charges, but he can't put himself in that situation. But the thing I'm most excited about is the being able to go to the clock in the last 2 minutes and find out if a basket's good or not. And that's a key thing, and it helps everybody. It makes the game play the way it should and gives the referees a chance to go look at it and get it right.
Well, and that's a great block by Keon. I mean, what a tremendous play. And you hate to see that goaltend on a good block like that.
Yeah. And the fact is, the rule is now they can go check it, you know, in the last 2 minutes, which is a great thing. And but a good win. Again, we just needed to get a win some way, somehow. And I'm surprised we didn't shoot well, because I think we've proven we can do it. That's where we got to get more consistent. But we did do a much better job taking care of the ball. We turned them over. And like you guys have mentioned, we outscored them in the lane, and just still have to do a better job rebounding the ball. But when we go with a smaller lineup with a team that's physical and long, that's where length and a little bit of bulk gives you an advantage. It's hard to block out in those situations, but we had to make some key plays down the end. We did.
So Tennessee gets out of there with the win against Mississippi State and now gets ready for Kansas coming up on Saturday. Kansas is on a 3-game losing streak, and we talked about that a little bit on Tuesday's show when Blake Lovell stopped by. Kansas is still a good team. It's a top 20 team according to KenPom, just like Tennessee. And coming off 3 straight losses, but lost by 5 to Oklahoma State, lost by 8 to Baylor, which is an unbeaten number 2 team in the country, and then lost to Oklahoma this past Saturday by 7 points. Kansas will play TCU on Thursday night before coming to Knoxville to play Tennessee on Saturday. But as Rick Barnes said after the game, Tennessee really still needs to focus on what it needs to improve on. Obviously, Tennessee needs to shoot better, and that's going to continue to be a question mark moving forward. I think the rotation, Jaden Springer maybe can be even more involved this upcoming weekend. Get him a little bit of rest, get him a little practice time, and then get him ready for the game coming up on Saturday. But the potential is still there. I'm not wavering on that at all in terms of what Tennessee can be. And it doesn't sound like Rick Barnes is either. This was him on Tuesday night on the Vol Network postgame show talking about how this team can still improve and still get a lot better.
Right now, again, we've got to continue to worry about ourselves and be concerned about getting better and really try to get our rhythm back. And we do that, we're going to be okay. It's going to be, again, I keep telling everybody this. I look out there tonight a couple of times, you know, we've got, two freshmen, two sophomores, and Eve was really good when he was in the game. I don't want him trying to pick up that charge like that early in the game. Again, he's too valuable right there to sit that long. And if we could just get Folky giving us a little bit more, and if Olivier can keep coming with it, BJ, Bailey, if he'll, you know, get done what we know he can get done, and just keep moving it. That's all we got to do. We keep doing that, we'll find a way to get better. And that's what's exciting. We got a chance to really get better.
And I think Tennessee will. I know I'm a bit of a broken record at this point on that. Tennessee has some obvious things to work on. Tennessee against Florida and Missouri was not good enough. And against Mississippi State, Tennessee was not as good as it can be. Obviously, if the Vols hit a few more shots, they win by a wider margin. If Mississippi State hits a few shots, the Bulldogs could have won the game, and Tennessee could be on a three-game losing streak, and that would be no good. Tennessee got out of there with a win. Tennessee has plenty to work on. If the Vols beat Kansas on Saturday, you're going to feel a lot better. If not, well, let's see what happens when Tennessee hops back into SEC play. The SEC schedule next week, by the way, is Ole Miss on the road and Kentucky on the road. So beating Kansas is important for the record. It'll help the resume, and you want to try to pick up some momentum heading back into a tough stretch. Ole Miss and Kentucky are both very beatable teams, but you have to travel, and you never know. There are going to be a lot of tough games, including those probably next week. Coming up on tomorrow's show, what's the latest with Tennessee's coaching search? Is the search officially over? I'll be talking about it either way on tomorrow's show, and if there's a new coach in place, if it's Josh Heupel or somebody else, I'll, of course, be looking for reaction on that. What do you think about what's going on? You can hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I have links to my social media accounts there if you want to send me any questions or comments with what's going on. I appreciate you being here. Keep spreading the word to other Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols. It's here 5 days a week. Rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts is a big help. Thanks again for hanging out. I'll see you tomorrow on Locked On Vols.